Good morning. Are you able to hear me this morning? Perfect. Good morning, and welcome. Today is the first Sunday. It's the first day of May, and it is our time now for our weekly gathering. This is a time in our ceremony where I welcome everybody in and where we are able to greet one another. So, Lynn, if you will play our opening song, and after that, the next voice you'll hear is my reader for this morning. Kathy will take the mic after we greet one another. Welcome to the sanctuary.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. We are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Chidananda, oh, Shanti, oh, Shanti, Sachidananda.
Good morning, everybody. I am going to be assisting Reverend Gloria this morning. I hope you can all hear me. I will read our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Reverend Gloria will be reading the core value that dovetails with her teaching later in our service. And right now, I am going to go directly to our announcements. There are four announcements this morning. The first being, join us tonight at 8 p.m. for Michael Langford and Regina Dawn Akers. Regina met Michael in person on April 6th and recorded 2 hours of their conversations together. So tonight at 8 p.m., she will play the first one-hour audio for us. Also, come next Sunday at 8 p.m. for the second one-hour audio. Our second announcement, Bruce Rawls will finish his mini-series tonight starting at 9 p.m. So that would be right after our listening to Michael Langford and Regina Dawn Akers conversation. We'll go with Bruce Rawls finishing his mini-series at 9 p.m. Next week, Gina Lake will start a new 8-week mini-series. Gina is the author of several books, including The Jesus Trilogy, Return to Essence, Trusting Life, Radical Happiness, Living in the Now, and her newest book, In the World, But Not of It. You can learn more about Gina Lake at radicalhappiness.com. Please join us at 9 p.m. next Sunday for the kickoff of Gina's 8-week mini-series. So our third announcement, 2 Awakening Together classes are starting in May. Introduction to the Bhagavad Gita and Introduction to A Course in Miracles. Introduction to the Bhagavad Gita is a 3-week course. It will be offered on Wednesday evening and will be facilitated by Jacqueline Eckert. Introduction to A Course in Miracles is a 6-week course. There are 2 A Course in Miracles classes to choose from. 1
Kathy, you dropped the mic. You were just talking about A Course in Miracles classes coming up. Letting go of the mic.
Okay, am I back, guys? Okay, good. Don't know what happened there, but I will just continue. So, again, there are 2 A Course in Miracles classes to choose from. 1 on Tuesday in the evening, facilitated by Jay McCormick, and then 1 on Wednesday mornings, facilitated by Regina Dawn Akers. You can learn more about each of these classes at awakening-together.org under the classes menu. And the last of our announcements is number 4. Also, the next time you visit awakening-together.org, check out the events menu. We have 2 upcoming events. The Awakening Together Fall Retreat with Regina Dawn Akers, Brent Haskell, and John Mark Stroud in Colorado Springs in October 2016, and a pilgrimage to India is scheduled for February of 2017. You can find all the details for the fall retreat and the India pilgrimage under the events menu at awakening-together.org. Please be aware there is an early bird discount for the fall retreat, so be sure to check that out. And those are all of the announcements we have, and I see that Barb has also posted in the room if anyone needs to go to any of these sites for refreshment, to get further information for yourself, to make your reservations, to get on board with whatever it is you feel called to do. So with that being said, I am going to release the mic so that Lynn can play a selection and opening song before Reverend Gloria takes the mic for our invocation and prayer and core value. So I will release.
Thank you for that song, Lynn. And if you all would please join me in prayer. Beloved and gracious Father, I am so deeply grateful to be here. Understanding today that the message that will be shared was first and foremost for me. I'm so touched by the learning, the unfolding that continues to reveal itself in my life. And I'm deeply grateful to be in a position where I'm able to share from a place of deep abidance, of deep love and deep gratitude. I surrender now any of my own personal desires, anything that I would personally bring forward. I surrender that. I'm grateful today for each and every person who has taken the time to join us today, to share in this beautiful space of knowing, this beautiful space of sharing and connection. It all contributes to the whole of us. And for anyone listening later or in on the radio, thank you for your presence here. A special thank you today as well for the people who work behind the scenes to bring this gathering, to our admins, to Lynn, to Dove, to Regina, to everyone who contributes behind the scenes to make these types of gathering possible. I'm grateful for you today. I pray that whatever is to be given, whatever is to be shared, whatever is to be taken from this time together, I pray that that is accomplished. And so it is. Amen. All right. So I want to, before I release the mic back to Kathy, to finish the, to bring us our reading for today, which, by the way, the topic of today's gathering is sufficiency. Now is enough because you are. And I want to say a special thank you to Kathy for joining me today in adding more assistance than just the reading this morning. That was helpful for me, and I did want my reader as well to just have more of a presence in this gathering. So I'll go ahead and release the mic and allow Kathy to read from, today's reading will come from Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth. She's reading from the chapter Wanting, the Need for More. And as I stated last Sunday at our gathering, this is somewhat of a continuation of what Reverend Jacqueline Eckhart shared with us last weekend, and I'm sure you'll see that as this gathering proceeds today. So I'll go ahead and release the mic and let Kathy go ahead and read for us from Eckhart Tolle's book, and then I'll be joining us again with the core value and the teaching for today.
Thank you, Reverend Gloria. That was a beautiful prayer to start us off. And I want to personally thank you for asking me to assist you and allowing you to have a bit more of stillness in preparation for your teaching. So again, the title of her topic today is Sufficiency. Now is enough because you are. And she also shared that our reading is from Eckhart Tolle, The New Earth. And this particular piece is called Wanting, The Need for More. The ego identifies with having, but its satisfaction in having is a relatively shallow and short-lived one. Concealed within it remains a deep-seated sense of dissatisfaction, of incompleteness, of not enough. I don't have enough yet, by which the ego really means, I am not enough yet. As we have seen, having, the concept of ownership, is a fiction created by the ego to give itself solidity and permanency and make itself stand out, make itself special. Since you cannot find yourself through having, however, there is another, more powerful drive underneath it that pertains to the structure of the ego. The need for more, which we could also call wanting. No ego can last for long without the need for more. Therefore, wanting keeps the ego alive much more than having. And I'm going to read that one more time. Therefore, wanting keeps the ego alive much more than having. The ego wants to want more than it wants to have. And so the shallow satisfaction of having is always replaced by more wanting. This is the psychological need for more, that is to say, more things to identify with. It is an addictive need, not an authentic one. In some cases, the psychological need for more, or the feeling of not enough that is so characteristic.
Kathy, you dropped the mic again at the word characteristic.
Thank you for letting me know that, Barb. I appreciate it. And hopefully I'm back again. I don't really know why that's happening, but at any rate, I will just simply continue. I'm going to start that sentence over again. So in some cases, the psychological need for more, or the feeling of not enough that is so characteristic of the ego, becomes transferred to the physical level, and so turns into insatiable hunger. The sufferers of bulimia will often make themselves vomit so they can continue eating. Their mind is hungry, not their body. This eating disorder would become healed if the sufferers, instead of being identified with their mind, could get in touch with their body and so feel the true needs of the body rather than the pseudo needs of the egoic mind. Some egos know what they want and pursue their aim with grim and ruthless determination. Genghis Khan, Stalin, Hitler, to give just a few larger-than-life examples. The energy behind their wanting, however, creates an opposing energy of equal intensity that in the end leads to their downfall. In the meantime, they make themselves and many others unhappy, or in the larger-than-life examples, create hell on earth. Most egos have conflicting wants. They want differing things at different times, or may not even know what they want, except that they don't want what is, the present moment. Unease, restlessness, boredom, anxiety, dissatisfaction are the result of unfulfilled wanting. Wanting is structural, so no amount of content can provide lasting fulfillment as long as that mental structure remains in place. Intense wanting that has no specific object can often be found in the still developing ego of teenagers, some of whom are in a permanent state of negativity and dissatisfaction. The physical needs for food, water, shelter, clothing, and basic comforts could easily be met for all humans on the planet, were it not for the imbalance of resources created by the insane and rapacious need for more, the greed of the ego. It finds collective expression in the economic structures of this world, such as the huge corporations, which are egoic entities that compete with each other for more. Their only blind aim is profit. They pursue that aim with absolute ruthlessness. Nature, animals, people, even their own employees are no more than digits on a balance sheet, lifeless objects to be used, then discarded. The thought forms of me and mine, of more than, of I want, I need, I must have, and of not enough, pertain not to content but to the structure of the ego. The content is interchangeable. As long as you don't recognize those thought forms within yourself, as long as they remain unconscious, you will believe in what they say. You will be condemned to acting out those unconscious thoughts, condemned to not finding, because when those thought forms operate, no possession, no place, no person or no condition will ever satisfy. No content will satisfy as long as the egoic structure remains in place. No matter what you have or get, you won't be happy. You will always be looking for something else that promises greater fulfillment, that promises to make your incomplete sense of self complete and fill that sense of lack you feel within. And that is the conclusion of our reading. I will release the mic to Reverend Gloria for her teaching.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Kathy, for that reading. That was well read, and I appreciate that. Okay, so the first thing I want to do today is share today's core value. The core value from Awakening Together's website, our website there, is core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. So, that is the core value this lesson will attempt to highlight here. And let's go ahead and unpack this story that Eckhart Tolle is sharing with us about wanting and the need for more. There are a few points that I want to make today in this time together. The first is the structural nature of having and wanting. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how the ego translates wanting into that feeling or into that belief that I'm not enough. And then lastly, we're going to cover some sufficiency, where and what that is. So let's first of all look at having. Eckhart pointed out the concept of ownership here is a fictional concept created by the ego to give itself solidity and permanency and to make itself stand out, make itself special, and all these other things. So that's a fictional concept. Even the idea of having is a fictional concept within itself. So my question then, for myself and also for you guys, is what is the basic requirement for anything to be owned? What would be needed for anything to be owned? An owner, a me. Yeah, there would need to be an owner for anything to be owned. And that was throughout, as I was preparing for this lesson, this teaching today, throughout this, I had multiple. That's why my prayer today centered around the fact that I knew this teaching was primarily for me. I had great shifts in my own perception of seeking and having. So, and that's what I really hope to relay in this teaching today. So let's talk a little bit more about having. What would be required for that is an owner, a me. So that in and of itself, that is the basis for the fictional concept of having. Because we know that there's no real such thing as an owner. So as I was preparing for this teaching, I came across some information about that relates to having. So I learned that the storage industry, you know, the self-storage industry is actually one of the largest growing industries in America right now. And I was quite surprised to discover that. I came across an article in Bloomberg that, and I'll read this excerpt here I have from that article. According to the Self-Storage Association, the U.S. had 48,500 mini warehouse facilities in 2014. Combined, they amount to 2.3 billion square feet of space for lease. That's enough in the trade group's formulation to warehouse every man, every woman, and every child in our country. Now, I don't know about you, but that was a staggering statistic to me. That is how much we collect things, that the storage industry has now become one of the fastest growing industries that's out there, because what we don't have enough space to hold all the stuff that we're collecting. So we're buying space and renting space to house the things that we don't have the space to house. And it equates to 2.3 billion square feet. So again, just staggering statistics that point to that, Tolle pointed out in the reading, that the content is interchangeable. It doesn't matter what we acquire. It's all based on the faulty premise of having an ownership, and it can never bring us everlasting satisfaction. And heaven even isn't really where it's at for us. The real juice for us is in the seeking. And that's where we're going next here, is to talk a little bit about the seeking. Because the having of things is we will get something, and I believe that's why that storage number is increasing in America. Because we get something and that doesn't satisfy the ego. It does temporarily, but we need to go back out and continue seeking, so we need all this space to hold all the these things. So seeking is really where the juice is for the ego. And Jeff Foster, his teaching had a profound impact on my perception of seeking. He was actually one of the teachers that his work came to me in a very roundabout way as I was preparing for this teaching. And once I reviewed his work, I understood why it had come, because he teaches that nagging feeling of incompleteness has likely been around since early ages, since we were toddlers, that sense that something is just missing from our experience, nothing in particular, but just something is missing here, something is slightly off. And so we go about in the world trying to fill that void, trying to correct that imbalance of what's missing from our everyday experience. So we go after things and people and objects to try to fill this space. So Jeff Foster calls that the seeking mechanism. And I looked up mechanism to see what that word, I had a general idea, but I wanted a specific definition for what mechanism meant. And a mechanism is a natural or established process by which something takes place or is brought about. So Eckhart pointed out in this reading that wanting keeps the ego alive much more than having. So we can begin to see how this seeking mechanism works to keep that ego alive. The ultimate goal there is to keep this, the focus off of what really matters and roll that back to the ego and continue to seek. You see, that mechanism is at work. And I love that Jeff Foster called that a mechanism. It's something that's working and operating outside of our truth. Or actually, it's within our truth, but it's not our truth. It's a mechanism at work, at play. So that was really helpful for me with looking at this whole process of seeking. And wanting, like I said, wanting is what keeps that ego alive. So if we can begin to see, and we're going to talk a little bit now about wanting. And the first thing I want to say about wanting is there's no good, bad, right, or wrong. I mean, I'm not here today to condemn people for having wants, including myself. I'm not here to condemn myself for having wants and needs, or not needs, but having wants. What I would like to do is look at that idea of wanting and how it manifests, not only in our physical world, but how it blocks the light of our truth. Eckhart pointed out that wanting in its simplest form is the need for more. And without that need for more, the ego would eventually cease to exist. And isn't that what we want? I mean, the last sentence of today's core value says we live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. So that's our ultimate goal, is to let go of this individual self, or the belief in the individual self. And if that's our ultimate goal, then we have to approach the subject of wanting with careful and watchful eyes. Ellie Ruzdar also pointed out when she was here visiting and sharing with us recently that spiritual seekers fall into two categories, that 90% of seekers are seeking happiness. Happiness is what they're really after. It's that seeking mechanism in effect there. And 10% of seekers are really looking for the truth. So this seeking mechanism, this idea of seeking, is really what moves us away from our truth. Or at the very least, it causes us to focus more on happiness than on the truth. There were also two types of needs that Eckhart pointed out in the reading today. He talked about addictive need and authentic need. And what I can see from that reading was that addictive needs arise from ego-based seeking for more happiness, that 90% that Ellie Ruzdar was talking about. Those addictive needs come from seeking more happiness. Authentic needs, on the other hand, are going to arise from that heart-based knowing that happiness is. It just is. Happiness is just what it is. And it doesn't require me to seek anything outside of myself to understand and to rest in this happiness. One of the things that I've been doing lately, or I've been guided very much lately, is to work with the Daily Thoughts of Awakening. Those thoughts are posted on Regina Dawn Akers at reginadawnakers.com. And today's daily awakening lesson is, I read that and I went, okay, perfect. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because that works. That fits just perfect into the lesson today. And I'll read that today's daily thought of awakening. Am I saying that right? Thoughts of Awakening, the daily lesson. Okay, great. And so I'm going to read today's, because when I read it, I was just like, okay, that has to be a part of what this teaching is about today. So here it is, lesson 122. Be clear on what you want. Be clear on what you want. Be clear on what you want. I say this three times because when you first think of what you want, you may think of illusory wants, which need to be let go if you are to be happy. Let go of illusory wants and go deeper. When you get in touch with what you truly want, the wanting is recognized and confirmed by peace. And that is from the Holy Spirit. So we can see that those addictive needs and the authentic needs, yeah, they're coming from two different points of view. That addictive need is seeking that happiness. It's looking outside of itself, trying to find something to complete this void that we've probably felt from childhood, that something is just not right here. And no doubt, and Jeff Foster teaches that as well, that no doubt that's the longing for home. It's the longing for love. It's the longing for what we know is the truth. Innately, we know what the truth is. So there's that seeking mechanism, and the ego uses that to perpetuate itself. And Also, another point that came up for me is as I was studying this, the question came up, but the seeking got me here. The seeking is also what led me to a spiritual path. It's also what allowed me to really filter out some of these addictive needs and really get to see that, okay, those aren't authentic needs. So in other words, the seeking is what led me to this path. And so I had to work with that within myself to really see that, again, there are two types of needs here, addictive needs and authentic needs. So the seeking that led me to this path would be more of a right thinking, an authentic need, a need that was helpful to me because it was facing me in the direction of my truth. So the undoing for me became to really recognize and see when I'm falling into that addictive need versus an authentic need. It's a very subtle, it takes a watchful eye, because we can go along and we can just keep buying things and accumulating things and getting more storage units, you know, renting more space to hold more stuff. Or we can really start to look at what is an authentic need. What is the truth of an authentic need for me? Okay, so let's look a little closer here at how the ego translate this wanting into I'm not enough. And the wanting and seeking part, they go hand in hand. In both cases, there's the implication that something is lacking or incomplete. Bentino Massaro also pointed out quite vividly, in fact, that lack is the one thing that the Creator did not and could not create, but yet we believe in it and we suffer from its effects, which is that seeking mechanism there in full effect. What we know for certain is that information does not equal transformation. So I want to emphasize a little bit the watchful practice of monitoring this internal world, this internal mechanism of seeking, to become more aware when we are operating from this addictive need. One of my favorite lines from the Martha Creek series, I really did enjoy that series when she was here. I gained a lot of a better understanding there. And if anyone hasn't listened to her series, please do go out on our website and look at that. But she shared one of my favorite lines from her series was that enlightenment is a process. It's the direction that we go in. There's no destination that we're trying to get to there. It's a direction. So if we're able to see and move in the direction of our authentic needs and kind of recognize our addictive needs without judgment, as Regina says, that's double dosing on ego. When you look back at what you're doing and you judge that, now you're, you know, getting a double dose there of the ego. So there's no judgment. That's why I pointed out at the beginning that there's no good, bad, right, or wrong in wanting. It just is. And we need to look at that if our ultimate goal is to move in this direction of being a seeker of truth and not a seeker of experience. So the last part I want to talk about here is that God's grace is sufficient. The title of this talk today was sufficiency. Now is enough because you are. And this is where it comes into the part two of what Jacqueline, our Reverend Eckert, was teaching us last weekend about the lilies of the field. When she got into that part of her teaching, this part of my teaching was already written, so I knew that that was going to be a part two there. So the lilies of the field, was what she talked about last night or last week, and how sufficiently supplied each and every one of us are. If I was to release this mic right now, if I were to pass this mic to everyone in this room and I was to say, tell me a story about how something just randomly came together for you, how you may have thought that your needs would not be met, but at the end of the day, everything just seemed to magically come into place, whether you efforted at all or not. Things just kinda came into place. I'm certain that if I was to pass this mic around the room, everyone would have a story to tell. So we are familiar with God's grace, His sufficiency in our life. Regina's story is published out on her website, and if you haven't heard that audio yet, I welcome you to go out and check that out. Most of us do know the basic story that she shares with us, how she left her hometown and a well-paid corporate role that she was very highly successful in a corporate role to follow the guidance of Holy Spirit to spearhead Awakening Together. And for those of you who have heard Regina's story, I'm sure I certainly have never heard her begging bread. She had some savings when she was called to go in that direction. So there was somewhat of a net there for her. But there was not a perfect plan written out for her to know that she would be taken care of. And I've never, again, heard her begging bread. And then there's also the more extreme stories like Peace Pilgrim, how she went out in the world and, you know, gave up all of her possessions and trusted that her needs would be met. And indeed, consistently, her needs were met. We all inherently know that God is the substance that our supply is created from and through. And the only thing that could ever be amiss is the conditioned belief that we are somehow not intricately connected to the infinite space that all forms are created from. So essentially, as the Course teaches, there's one problem and one solution. Now is enough because you are enough and you're here in the now. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do now is have us take a more direct look at this very moment here right now. So if you're multitasking, if you would please just pause that up for just a second and let's investigate this moment. Let's look at this perfect moment that we find ourselves in right now. So if we look at this moment that we call this current, we put that title on this moment, this current moment here right now. If we were to breathe this moment in fully, we would see that nothing is really missing from this current moment. But the other interesting fact about this current moment is that this is the same current moment that we shared at the beginning of this talk today. When I originally came on the mic and said, good morning, welcome to the first gathering of the month, we were also in the current moment then. Okay? So if that was the current moment and this is the current moment, there aren't multiple current moments. There aren't a zillion current moments. There's one current moment and it's right here, right now. And everything that's arising, it's all arising in that space of current moment. And guess what? We're the light that shines into that current moment. What we are is what illuminates this perfect, precious moment. And that's why now is enough, because you're in it, because you're the light. We are the light that shines into this moment, giving it perfect breath, perfect life, and it's always eternally right now. What permeates this moment is the self-aware, unchanged, whole and complete presence of our being, which has helped me to understand what Michael Beckwith was, Reverend Michael Beckwith was saying when he said, what we're looking for, we're looking with. So that empty feeling that we're trying to feel, that we're trying to fill up, is actually what we're looking with. Nothing out there can, and that's why nothing can satisfy us. No amount of money, no amount of possessions, no amount of objects, no amount of positions, no amount of external love from another partner, from a better job. None of that can give us the everlasting peace that we seek, because we are that peace that we're seeking. So it's from that perfect, this perfect place of eternal, this perfect and eternal current moment, that we're able to see and say that everything I see is perfect. Everything I hear is perfect. Everything I experience is perfect. Everything I say is perfect, because everything that is perfect. So in closing today, I want to leave you with an excerpt from NTI, Matthew 6, verse 19 through 23. Let your purpose guide you in all things, and let it be the true purpose of the heart. For the purpose of the world are more like smoke screens that deceive you, promising rewards and happiness, but delivering not. For every purpose of the world brings forth yet another purpose to seek. And so, you shall spend your life seeking and finding not. Empty you shall die. But the purpose of the heart fills up your treasure chest quickly with joy, peace, and hope. And you shall follow the twinkle within your own eye. And since it's always with you, you shall always be satisfied beyond measure. For it is the light within the heart that shines to show you your joy. And since it shines from within you, you shall see your joy wherever you look. But if you do not trust your heart and you try to find your own way to happiness, you shall be lost. For who can find their own way without the light? Who can be happy stumbling, lost, and aimless in the dark? Okay. Now is the time in our service today for contemplation. I'll ask Lynn to play us a song as we sit with this teaching today, as we sit with these words. Because as Jesus said, words are but symbols of symbols. So we sit with these symbols today, and we look within. We turn inward, searching for that authentic, those authentic needs. Because seeking is purposeful. It does serve a righteous purpose. if we direct that seeking towards those authentic needs, our true desire. So I will release this mic and let Lynn play us a song for contemplation. Barb will also post the link in the room for those of you who are in the room to go and make a donation. If you're listening today on the radio or at a later time, you can visit our website, awakeningtogether-org, and select the Donate tab to make a donation. Your donations are greatly appreciated and used purposefully to support Awakening Together. So I'll release this mic and let Lynn go ahead and play us a song. Thank you. Okay, and thank you for that song, Lynn. That was truly perfect for this for this teaching today, as your selections often are. So now is the time where if you're wanting to share anything, now is the time for you to raise your hand, and I will release the mic. I see Regina has her hand up, so I'll release the mic. Regina.
Yeah, thank you, Gloria. That was absolutely beautiful, but everyone who heard it knows it, so it doesn't really need to be said. But that was really gorgeous. My comment came when Lynn played the song I Shall Not Want, because I think it was 2 weeks ago maybe when I was the minister, I played that same song during the contemplation. And so what happened when she put that song on is it created a link for me between what I said a couple of weeks ago and what you said today. And interestingly, a couple of weeks ago, because there was so much commenting, that was the longest service that we ever had, which I thought was wonderful. I thought the enthusiasm was wonderful, because what that service was about was the intense desire for awakening and how important that intense desire is. And then, of course, you come and you share the other side of that coin. In order to have that one burning desire, we need to see the falsehood of all other desires. And we need to see how all other desires are really in opposition to our one true desire, you know. So if we think we have a desire for truth, but then we also have a desire for this and that, attention, love, you know, whatever you want to, approval, being right, you know, we could go on and on. It's like we're playing tug of war with ourselves. In fact, it reminds me of something Nisargadatta said. I can't quote him exactly, but basically he said that for every step forward we take, we also take a step backward, and this is why we don't go anywhere. You know, so I say, oh, I want truth, and then, oh, I want attention. I want people to notice me. So it's like the step forward, step backward, and we're never going anywhere. And so, you know, this is a two-sided coin. In order to really have one desire, that burning desire, which over and over and over again, what I perceive as the good teachers, the solid teachers, you know, the Nisargadatta, the Ramana Maharshi, the Elie Ruzdar, the Jesus, the Michael Langford, you know, they all say we need this burning desire to awaken. And in fact, sometimes, you know, there are some spiritual teachers, which actually I personally perceive as weaker. Weaker meaning not fully awakened themselves and speaking from concepts they learned. But there are some spiritual teachers out there today. It's very popular today to teach that you have to let go of all wanting, including the wanting to awaken. And when I was with Michael Langford, I talked to him about this. This is not on the recordings that we're going to hear starting tonight. This was an informal conversation that happened when we were not recording. But I talked to him about this popular teaching today that you need to let go of even the desire to awaken, that that keeps you in the wanting and keeps you in the sense of lack. And he told me a story. He said, imagine that every wanting that the ego has is like a log. And there are a lot of logs, because there are so many ego wantings. And he says, and then there's this one log that's different than all the other logs. This log that's different represents the desire to awaken, the desire for truth, the desire for the end of ego. They're all the same. He says the difference between this log and all of the other logs is that this log is burning. And so when you place this log, the burning log, with all of the other logs, they burn up in it. He says it is essential that we have a very strong desire for awakening. In fact, that is the most essential thing of all, that brings everything else to us, all of our own clarity, all of the wisdom, any teaching we need to hear, anything that needs to be let go or fall away, we're able to let go or it falls away in that desire. So we do need this one burning desire for awakening. And I guess that's all I have to say because the words just stopped. Thank you, Gloria.
And thank you, Regina. I love that analogy of a burning log. That really sits well in my mind here. So I really like that one burning log is the true desire. And Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Gloria, and thank you, Regina. Yeah, the whole idea of desire, one thing Nisargadatta says is that fulfillment of desires just leads to more desire. And he's, of course, talking about the desires of the world in that particular section, but it's also true when it's the desire for knowing our true self, as it becomes more fulfilled, as we become more and more aware of our own truth and our own strength, that desire for even more keeps going on. So more is as I was posting earlier, more is actually the Antichrist. If you think that you can have more idols and more idols and build storage units and fill them full of more idols. And, I even hate to say, I don't hate to say it, I hate to think it, although why, I don't know, I would hate to think this. We have more stored in landfills, waste dumps in this country than we have in storage lockers or in homes. So the desire for more just leads to the desire for changing. That ties in what I was talking about earlier this morning, is that the first and only real, what you quote unquote, what you would call a sin, is the desire for things to be different. And this is what this desire for more is. If I don't know what I really want, then I'm going to be looking at every different thing I can find and asking, are you it? Is this it? Is this job it? Is this church it? Is this child it? Is this man it? Is this better body it? I'm always going to be asking everything that comes to me, are you it? Are you what I'm looking for? And of course it never is, and that's why I want more and more and more, is because I'm going to keep looking and keep looking. And what you're pointing out, what all of our texts and teachings are pointing out, is as long as I am externalizing my needs and looking outside of myself for something, I will never have enough, and it will be the hungry ghost just starving and eating more and more and more. And when I recognize that it's all within, then I look within and I see the truth. I see that I am all and I have everything. And there is nothing, as you pointed out, in this very moment, in this holy instant, I have everything I will ever need and ever want. And it continues if I live instant to instant. It's only if I'm projecting my thoughts into the future and thinking that I need more that I get lost. Or projecting my thoughts into the past and saying I need to save what was, that is also getting me lost. It is actually staying in this very moment that resolves all of the need for more, the desire for more. And you pointed that out so beautifully. Thank you so much, Gloria. And I'm letting go of this mic.
And thank you, Lynn. That was beautifully shared there as well. As you were speaking, one verse from the Bible came clearly to the front of my mind, and I don't know what the verse is or what the actual verbiage is, but what came up was, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? That is the mind, the ego, that has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and it does so by, through this seeking mechanism. So, I am just, again, grateful to have had this opportunity to share in my own learning, because I again fully recognize that it is me that, you know, that saying the student teaches what they need to learn, that is powerfully true. So does anyone else have anything else they'd like to share today? Okay, Jay, I see your hand up. I'll go ahead and release the mic to you.
Thanks, Gloria. While you were reading us these statistics on, you know, the 48,500 or somewhere around there, the number of storage units and how they're increasing, I had to chuckle to myself because there is also a program on television, which I have seen a few times, that literally is about people who have abandoned or no longer pay on their storage units, and so they're auctioned off. And it's called, yes, Barb, it's called Storage Wars. And so when you were saying that, I thought, wow, and from, you know, from the first, the second piece of it then turns into another war, where we're competing to purchase the junk that's left in these storage units, and people then turn around and sell that junk, sometimes profitably, sometimes not. They simply have to guess at the value, once again, what value do we place on stuff? And in the world, there does seem to be some sort of monetary value or not attached to this junk. And you see the confrontation that goes on and the competition, you know, the egoic preservation strategies that are involved in, you know, the purchase and sale of the stuff that was seemingly so valued that we had to place it into a storage for some sort of future use that no longer is even relevant anymore. Now it's just been left there to be bought up by others who have, you know, their own motivations involved. So that's all I wanted to share about that. Thank you.
Jay, I saw your hand up. If you wanted to take the mic, you're welcome to do so now.
That was beautiful sharing, Gloria. Thank you. And it's nice to hear everyone's comments, too. You know, it's interesting how I've observed my own mind with desiring and wanting. And as your title of your talk today about sufficiency. And this is a very interesting practice to just watch when the mind does bring up insufficiency through the means of desires. And if you're mindful, and if you really are called to practice this kind of mindfulness, it can be really amazing how you see it come up. Because I've been doing a lot with watching consciousness lately. And it's interesting that if you don't fight it, you don't go into the storage war, as Kathy was talking about, if you don't go into the storage war, it just passes. It's a false fire, false operation, right? You don't have to get caught into and trapped into that storage locker, you know, where you can't get out. Because you're digging around in that storage locker looking for that thing that you lost, and pretty soon 50, 60 years go by. And another lifetime comes and goes, right? So, good analogy with the storage locker and the storage wars. I have watched Storage Wars a few times on TV. I stopped watching Storage Wars, but I have seen the show. It's neat to see how the mind will come along to try to add that extra value to the moment that's whole and perfect with something more, something extra. Plus one, right? Plus one. And it's neat to just again, sit and just wait, and just within a few moments, it just sort of passes. Now, obviously, some desires are so strong that your mind is obsessed with them and you can't seem to let them go. And in some cases, I actually recommend people fulfill the desire, but then let it go and be watchful with the mind, you know, for creating more new desires. Because that's the other thing that the watchfulness is so necessary for. Because this comes up with the spiritual stuff too. Every time you have a breakthrough or some new feeling of freedom in yourself that just seems to arise through grace, the very first thing that the mind is going to want to do is to try to claim credit for that. First of all, it was because of what I did as a separate ego that brought this to you, which is false. But then it's going to start trying to want more of that. And that's the particularly deadly one. You got to be careful with those, is to just keep going back to what Gloria was teaching about wanting truth for the sake of truth, right? So, giving up the mic.
Okay, and thank you, Jay. That was a beautiful sharing as well. Thank you to everybody who shared and added to the perfection of this current moment. If there's no one else who'd like to share, I'll go ahead and close this gathering, this first Sunday gathering out. It was truly a blessing, an honor, and an absolute privilege for me to share here with you today. So I thank you all for joining us, and I'll ask Lynn to play us a closing song. Many blessings.